Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Itself a little bit more to others. For that, perhaps the greatest trash talker of all time was Muhammad Ali in the field of boxing. In the NBA, remember MJ and Larry Bird. Let's see, Gary Payton, Charles Barkley. Those were really big-time talkers. Modern day, maybe Draymond Jones. I hear he's pretty good. In football, it's usually the cornerbacks and wide receivers that are face-to-face on the line of scrimmage that talk a good game. And why do they do this? The purpose is to distract their opponent, to get them off balance and off their game so that they can gain an advantage over their opponent. Are you easily distracted? Think about when you sit down to have a quiet time of a morning, and what happens? The phone rings, the baby cries, the kids walk in the door. Your brain immediately thinks of 1,000 things you need to do at that exact moment. That's why when I was a student, after I became a Christian in college or seminary, I always sat in the second row on the left-hand side, because I knew that if I ever sat in the back, I would be so busy watching everybody in front of me, I would be so distracted, I would not be able to pay attention. Nehemiah, we've been looking at his story. He felt a call of God to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the broken down wall. Jews were returning to the city, but with no wall, it was unsafe to be there. So they started working on the city wall. And they were nearly finished, but Satan wasn't. He tried to distract Nehemiah off the task. And that is a ploy that he uses a lot in our lives. He tries to get inside our head to get us off our game. He keeps us busy with a lot of fluff. We're going to look at 4 distractions that Nehemiah faced that we can face in life. I think they're very applicable, especially if you are a person that's easily distracted. Listen up this morning. The first thing to pay attention to is the good, not the great. That's a distraction. The good, not the great. Nehemiah 6, 1 through 4. Let's look at that text. Now, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come and let us meet together at Hakapurim in the plain of Ono. But they intended to do me harm. And I sent a messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent to me 4 times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. So we see here that Nehemiah received an invitation to a summit meeting, a peace talk. Before, these people had been enemies, but this sounded friendly. Let's meet together. Together. That's a nice word. It sounds good. They were to meet on the plain of Ono, which was a resort area right on the Mediterranean coast. They said in their letter, I imagine, and I'm paraphrasing, Nehemiah, you've been working hard. You need a break, a vacay by the beach. Let's be friends. Let bygones be bygones. So 4 times they sent fancy embossed invitations in ornate envelopes. And what did Nehemiah do? He said, oh no, to oh no. He said no to the distraction. He could not be distracted from the great work he was doing for God. He said, I'm too busy fulfilling God's purpose for my life to come down to you. I can't leave the great work that I'm doing for God. Don't leave the great for the merely good. Only leave if you know it is God's will for you. Don't do second best when the best is left undone. Don't leave God's will for man's. Think of Mary and her sister Martha, whom they welcomed Jesus into their home. It says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. as he had much to say to them. And where was Martha? Off in the kitchen. Now, the kitchen is good. We got to eat. Somebody needed to prepare the meal, right? But at that moment, it says that Mary chose the best thing, the great thing, which is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Are you easily distracted by good things? Not necessarily sinful things, not bad things, just not great things, like our phones, our meetings, television, social media, kids' sports. These things are good. They're not evil. They're not bad. But they can become time wasters. We definitely say no to sin. It would have been a sin for Nehemiah to have gone down there because they probably would have killed him. And then that would have ended the work. We definitely say no to drugs, right? That was the message way back in my day. Say no to drugs. Say no to sexual promiscuity because the great thing is sexual purity. Do you have a great project that you're working on? A kingdom assignment? Something too important to allow the tyranny of the urgent to sidetrack you? Your purpose in life is so crucial. Do you have something to live for that you're willing to die for? The Apostle Paul did in Acts 21. It says, when we heard this, we and the people there urged him, Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. But then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. What's your great work? You have a kingdom assignment. You got to figure that out and do it. Learn to say no to the good so you can say yes to the great. What's another distraction that Nehemiah faced? Slander. Let's read verses 5 through 9. In the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall. And according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah. And now the king will hear of these reports. So now come and let us take counsel together. Then I sent to them saying, no such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Look, if you are a leader in any capacity, you're going to be criticized. But this goes way beyond that, to slander and lies and rumors. Before, Nehemiah's enemies sent sealed letters. Now they send an unsealed letter. All of this so everyone could see and accuse them. They put it on the local newspaper. They posted it on Facebook. They said, you're establishing your own little kingdom to rebel against the king because you want to set yourself up as the king. Geshem says it's true. Oh, I guess it must be true then if he says it. It's on the internet. It must be true. It's reported. According to reports, some people are saying, do you know really what some people are saying really means? It means I am saying. Slander, lies, rumors. And people believe them. They like juicy stories. If you hear a really juicy story, it's almost certain that it's made up. In fact, gossip is news I have to tell others quickly before they find out it's not true. There's definitely no place for gossip in the church. Don't listen to it. Don't spread it. Kill it quickly. Anyone who's doing a great work for God will be criticized, sometimes even slandered. Who do you think, just a wild guess, was the most criticized, slandered human being in history? I think it was Jesus. They called him a glutton, a drunk, a blasphemer, a false prophet. Well, who was he? Just God in human flesh without sin. Even when he was dying on the cross, listen to what his enemies said about him. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. Look, if Jesus was misunderstood, so will you be. Maybe slandered even. If you are slandered, what should you do? Ask yourself, is there any truth at all to it? Is it reasonable criticism? Is it 10% true? Is it 1% true? Remember, your critics will say what your friends won't. If there's some truth to it, repent. Or apologize if it's not sin. You will be respected for that. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." If you confess it right up front, you take away the advantage that the critics have over you. If the charges are false, deny it. You guys sure are creative. There's no truth at all to what you're saying. You just made it up in your heads. So you see, slander distracts you from your mission. You spend all your time addressing rumors. Then the work slows or stops. We see here that Nehemiah did not waste time responding to rumors and lies and innuendo. If you argue too much, your opponents are going to think, well, there's probably something to it. A curt denial is in order. Abraham Lincoln said, "If I were to read, much less answer, all the attacks made against me, this shop would close for business. I do my best, the very best I know how, the very best I can. And I mean to keep on doing it until the end. And if the end brings me out wrong, then 10 angels swearing that I was right wouldn't make a difference." General MacArthur and Winston Churchill both said, "We don't answer criticism. We don't respond to slander. We don't respond to accusation. If we did, it would take all our time just fighting those attacks." Henry Ward Beecher. Life would be a virtual flea hunt if man was required to run down every innuendo and insinuation about him and the misrepresentations that are uttered against him. Look, your good character will show that these are lies that are untrue. Nehemiah had proven himself noble in everything so far. Everyone saw his good character. So your good reputation, you will find then, is much more important than gold. Also, you can pray when you're slandered. Pray. Take the unfairness of it all to God. "Oh God," Nehemiah said, "strengthen my hands. God, help me put another brick in the wall and not be distracted. Oh God, heal my wounded heart." Nehemiah prays throughout this book. This man is always praying, asking for God's help. And you can too. What's another distraction he faced? Fear. Nehemiah 6:10-14. "Now, when I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined to his home, he said, 'Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night.' But I said, 'Should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in.' And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophet Noada and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. So their next tactic was to scare and intimidate him. Nehemiah went to Shemaiah's house. He trusted him. Remember, he wouldn't leave the wall to go to Ono, but he would go to this man. Because this man was confined to his house, it says. That doesn't mean that he was paralyzed or a shut-in. He was shut in with God is what it means. This man was a seer, a prophet, a man of God who was seeking a word from God for Nehemiah. And he probably told Nehemiah, I'm seeking God for a word for you, and now I have it. Be careful, but be open if someone says they have a word for you. Remember, Satan knows the Bible too. When he tempted Jesus, he used scripture. He's an angel of light. Be careful with religious sounding words and phrases. Always test it against the Bible to make sure it's scriptural. In fact, discerning and having discernment, I think it's a very important word for 2026 for Christians. Let me veer off topic here just for a moment, but I think it applies to this discernment word. UFOs are now in the news. I remember when I was young, the government hid it. They would not talk about it at all. And if you believed it, you were some crazy, toothless lunatic from the hills of Appalachia. But now it's all over the news. In fact, more revelation is probably going to come out. I would be very wary, my Christian friends. It's real, but it's not little green men from faraway galaxies. It's interdimensional. That's my belief. They're right here among us in our world. The Bible says that there are principalities and powers and forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So as more and more comes to light, be very, just hold it at arm's length. Be very discerning. Ask the Lord to show you what's going on here. This guy, Shemaiah, was a fake, a charlatan, a prophet for profit, bought by Sanballat and Tobiah. There's a guy named Sean Bolts that has been notorious lately. Because he gives people words. You could look him up on social media. In fact, Mike Winger on YouTube did a real expose of Sean Bolts and the words that he gave to people over the years that ruined their lives. This was a trap for Nehemiah. Shemaiah said, there's an assassination plot against you, Nehemiah. You got to run and hide in the temple. So what did Nehemiah do instead? He took courage. He refused to run and hide. If he would have run away, what would have happened to the work on the wall? Obviously, it would have stopped. And the workers would have all run away, too. Morale would have suffered. He would have lost the respect of those following him. Courage is not having no fear. Courage is being afraid and yet stepping into the fear anyway. Nehemiah also had discernment. There's that word again. Important word for 2026. Nehemiah had a sense that this was a setup, a trick. He knew God's voice well enough to know this wasn't God's voice telling him to do this. God will never go against his word and his will. I remember a word for me someone gave. They said, next week, you're going to die in the pulpit. This was the church I pastored in Canton, First Church. You're going to die in the pulpit next week. I wasn't afraid because I knew this man must be off his medication. So I got into the pulpit the next week and preached. I didn't need to be afraid. In Marysville, I received an email and it looked so real, so authentic, saying that I was going to be shot. I think, why me? Why? Who would shoot me? What am I doing? But it was a fake. I had no reason to fear it. I'm happy to say I've received no death threats here at this church. Nehemiah also knew scripture. Nehemiah knew Numbers 18, verse 7. And you and your sons with you shall guard your priesthood for all that concerns the altar, and that is within the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood as a gift, and any outsider who comes near shall be put to death. Only priests could go inside the temple, and only the high priest of Israel could go into the Holy of Holies. Nehemiah wasn't allowed in there. If you accidentally killed someone, you could flee to a city of refuge. Those are mentioned in Numbers chapter 35. Never the temple. You'd be safe in the city of refuge until a judge heard your case and decided it. So this advice is illegal. It's against God's word. Never take unbiblical advice from anyone. Well, how do you know if it's unbiblical? You've got to be in the word to know. That's where God will speak to you. Get in the Bible and begin to read it every day. You see, the unknown about the future always produces fear. Will I be broke in my old age? Will I get cancer? Will I lose my job? Will my kids turn from God as adults? Will my husband leave me? You know, what ifs are very distracting. They get you off your game. Don't fear the future. God's got the future, and you're in Him. What's the last distraction Nehemiah faced? Betrayal. Nehemiah 6:17-19. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechani, the son of Ara, and his son Jehoram had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, as his wife. Also, they spoke of his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to make me afraid. What's going on here is an inside job. The enemies infiltrated the city. Tobiah was their enemy. But he was related by marriage to Jews inside the city. They wrote him letters. He wrote them letters. More lies and gossip. Nehemiah had a relationship with those people inside the city that they were related to Tobiah. They were telling Nehemiah, you know, you should be good friends with him. He's a great guy. It's very distracting when you think your so-called friends are really betraying you. It's probably happened to you sometime in your life. It's happened to me. And it hurts. I've always thought in ministry you get 1,000 little paper cuts, but every once in a while you get a sword to the gut. This is Nehemiah's sword to the gut, where these people on the inside, supposedly friends, are trying to turn him over. David understood this well in Psalm 55. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. So what can you do if you're betrayed? That's very distracting. You can persist. Don't give up. Don't give in. Nehemiah didn't. We read in Nehemiah 6:15-16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. See, Nehemiah kept at it. He wouldn't be distracted from the work. And the wall was completed. It took 52 days. This is an amazing accomplishment. Look, life is hard. We may have human enemies, but we definitely have the enemy of our soul who wants to destroy us. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I like that, flee from you. Now it's the enemy's turn to be afraid and run away. And nothing shuts them up like your success. Just keep at it. Keep doing the right thing. Keep doing God's work. Keep doing, fulfilling God's will. Don't be distracted by the enemy and his lies. Keep your eyes on God. Let me close with a few questions for you. Do you have a vision for your life? A great calling? A great project? Are you spiritually sensitive? Can you smell out Satan's schemes a mile away? How's your prayer life? Are you determined to finish well the work God gave you? Are you distracted right now? What from the sermon today will you apply? Let's pray. Father, if Nehemiah was writing this letter today, he would shake his head and say, wow, you guys have lots of distractions. He did in his day, and we do in ours. And Father, they're not good. The enemy uses them to get us off our game. Help us to be alert and discerning and not fall for these ploys, but to recognize them and keep our eyes on you, keep following you, keep walking in your will, staying in your word, following you closely. We won't be distracted. When we are, help us to quickly get back on track. Thank you, Father, for the example in your word that if we put it into practice, we will never fall. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.